You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
This is Talk at 9, baby. And it's 15 minutes past 10 o'clock. We're talking about polyamory. I've got to be honest with you. It's the first time I'd ever heard of polyamory today. Did a bit of reading about it, and I know that some of our more influential commentators have written about this. But I'm going to be speaking to Avery Spilker, who's a sexual health and rights consultant in the NGO sector. I'm going to speak to Niran Naika, who's a poly activist, and Jai Prakash Suram, who is an equality activist, and all of which are going to be telling me today about polyamory. Now, they've asked that if you have any questions, please SMS them to 31702 or 31567. Let me start with Avril, the lady in the group. Avril, what is polyamory?
What is polyamory? Okay, so the standard definition of polyamory is that it is the practice or acceptance of having more than one intimate partner at the same time with the full consent and knowledge of all partners involved. So it falls under the broader category of ethical non-monogamy. And the key issue is that everybody knows about it. And it's about intimate relationships. It's not just about sex.
I'm probably from the old school. The very idea of non-monogamy would obviously, not obviously, because we're having this conversation that is not an obvious conversation, but would be understood to be unethical by definition.
So I think my response to that is that we've been brought up to believe that there is only a single model of relationships, yeah. And that's monogamy, two people, and traditionally one woman and one man.
Yeah.
And I think as we've entered into the 21st century, we've realized that there's actually a huge diversity in relationships and different ways that people connect and different types of people connect in different types of ways. And we've had to really challenge the notion that monogamy is the only right, true, and healthy way of relating. If monogamy was the be and all of all relationships and everybody was happy in it, we would see a much lower divorce rate,
yeah,
and a much lower cheating rate, but that's not the case.
It seems to me, Jai Prakash, that the whole issue is hinged upon, is founded upon the whole idea of consent. Would that be what makes it ethical? I mean, people have consent for killing other people. And I mean, really?
Well, it's mutual consent, and it's also the honesty factor. So it's a case of everybody knows what's going on. All cards are on the table, and everyone's on board with it. So it's not a case of I'm going to tell my partner that I'm polyamorous and I'm going to go and sleep around with or be in other relationships. If she has or he has a partner, problem with it, then that doesn't fly either. So we've got to have that discussion, and we've both got to be on the same level and decide from there that we want to include other partners or we want to have additional relationships in addition to what we've got.
Rom, the issue that was raised by Avery is the whole issue of intimacy. And I'm aware that whenever we speak of intimacy, we're not necessarily speaking about sex. But invariably, the sexual issue is going to come into the definition of polyamory. Does that mean that people can have multiple sex partners in that kind of relationship?
Yes, they can. But the emphasis is more on the emotional connection between partners. It can lead to a sexual connection, but not necessarily. The emphasis, as I said, is on more than one romantic relationship. That means strong emotional connections with more than one person. That's the emphasis of polyamory.
So it does not necessarily have to be a sexual relationship. It is a strong emotional connection to somebody else.
Correct.
That would perhaps fit into an intimacy sort of definition.
Yes. Intimacy is not necessarily
absolutely
sexual.
Absolutely. Yes. All right. So you talked about the challenging of the notions of the heteronormative idea of monogamy. And I can almost hear somebody thinking out there or would have wanted to call to say, but does that mean something is right just because we give ourselves permission to do it and give it a name and a definition?
I think polyamory has been happening for a very long time.
Yeah.
The book Sex Before Dawn, the author explores the idea that human beings have been walking the planet for the last 100,000 years.
Yeah.
And for the first 90,000 of those years, human beings were polyamorous. It's only in the last 10,000 years that monogamy has taken over as the norm amongst human beings. And that came in with marriage, with patriarchy, with the very idea of ownership. And I think polyamory really challenges this idea that we own our partners and that there is a model for relationships. Mm. I think that when it comes to relationships, the thing that works is the rules that work. There is no one right way or wrong way to do a relationship. There are healthy ways and unhealthy ways to do relationships. And I think polyamory is a very healthy way to do relationships. People are encouraged to talk about their honest feelings. They're encouraged to talk about the things that we like to hide from our partners, like having crushes on other people, texting other people, wanting to go on dates with other people, wanting to have sex with other people, which human beings already do. Polyamory is we're doing it openly, we're doing it honestly, and we're acknowledging these things which we have been encouraged not to acknowledge.
Well, here's an SMS, and it's in Afrikaans. It's oh, Aubrey, met alle respect aan hierdie gaste van jou, maar ek gril my dood. Warm regards from Lucille. And I suppose most people who have been schooled, socialized in the last 10,000 years of what Avril's been talking about would grill at this. What is the basis of the grilling if indeed this has been happening for 90,000 years of our existence as mankind, humankind?
Well, it comes down to what we're used to and what we've been socialized in. You look at our media, our upbringing, our religions, everything has taught us that monogamy is the norm. In the same way as I'm going to jump back, say, 50 years, 80 years, where heterosexual relationships are the norm, a man and a woman.
Yeah.
So when we had the when you have homosexual relationships come into the forefront,
yeah.
The general public goes, ooh, that's bad. That's counteracting what I'm used to. And that's where the grilling comes from. It's because we're not used to it as a society. Mm. We've kind of, a lot of the polyamory having come along for those 90,000 years has been gone more underground for quite a long time. And it's been happening. It's been happening throughout the last throughout our entire kind of civilization, but just not in the public eye. And now over the last few years, it's becoming a bit more public.
So it sounds as though this conversation is saying that society has been largely hypocritical in the sense that polyamory functionally has been taking place. It's been happening all the time. You're suggesting that polyamory is coming out to the fore now because society is much more ready to talk about these things. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. It's in transition, especially now with the social media and worldwide connections. We are ready to actually address this issue of polyamory, I believe.
Does that mean that people have been hypocritical in not acknowledging their polyamorous natures? Or would you say to me that there are people that are monogamous by nature?
I believe so. There are definitely people who are truly monogamous.
Yeah.
But there are a large number that are also truly polyamorous. I don't know about the percentages, but for sure there's people on the other side of the spectrum and or in between as well. There's a spectrum. Monogamy on one end, and polyamory on the other end. And there's a whole spectrum in between.
Sure. Okay, this is fascinating. 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567 is the number you will call me on in the third hour as I get your comments. So, obviously, it means that polyamory would entertain the idea that you can have a number of sexual or intimate partners. Would that also mean a number of sexual or intimate partners of a different sexual orientation?
Absolutely. One of the wonderful things about polyamory is
I love the way you just Absolutely. All right.
Yes. I mean, I'm married.
You got to understand that this is really new to me. So I'm,
trying to be gentle with
you. Sure, please. Be easy now. Yeah?
I'm married to a man.
Yeah.
But I also have girlfriends.
Intimately, sexually?
Intimately, sexually.
And your husband
knows about it and also has girlfriends of his own. Has been a long conversation inside of our relationship where we've discussed what makes us feel safe, what are the rules, what are the safer sex rules, when should we disclose to each other about, oh, I'm having a crush on this person, I just want to talk to you about it. Because my husband's also my best friend. And so I love talking to him about the new relationships that I'm getting involved in, and I love hearing about his girlfriend and how it's going with them. It was not easy to begin with because we did not have any role models. We didn't have any songs that spoke about this, no movies, nothing. So we had to really make it up from scratch and go according to what felt safe and right and healthy for us and do a lot of communication and take a lot of ownership of very difficult emotions, being completely brutally honest with each other and growing as people. To be in this relationship, which was really authentic and was defined by vulnerability and being real with each other.
Why buy into the idea of marriage then? Why did you get married?
Because we wanted to.
Yeah?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that not a contradiction in philosophy that you are married, but you are in a relationship of marriage that comes from, I suppose, a patriarchal sort of background?
Absolutely.
Or it comes from the 10,000 years of our loss of our roots in terms of relationships. Why get married then?
For me, marriage and going through the whole marriage process, we had to ask ourselves this question. Why are we getting married? What does marriage mean to us? And we really embraced the notion that in the 21st century, you are able to redefine these age-old traditional concepts for yourself. And so we redefine marriage for ourselves. This is something that we want to do. It's important to us. It's important for us to declare our relationship in front of our community, in front of our family and friends. It was important for us to get the social sanctions that come with marriage, like medical aid and tax benefits and all of those wonderful things. Mm. And it was important for us that we declared that this was a very important relationship.
It sounds all very functional.
Look, I think we're laughing because in reality, polyamory can be very messy. Mm. There are a lot of very difficult, challenging conversations to have.
Yeah.
You really need to be brave. You really need to dig deep. You need to be honest. You know, it's much easier to cheat.
Tell me what is a typical conversation between a couple that is married such as yours, between the individuals in that couple that is married such as yours. What are the difficult issues? I mean, do you get jealous if you hear that your husband likes somebody else? Does he get jealous if you tell him that, I saw a guy and I like him, or a girl, I don't know, whatever. What are the difficult...
Let me tell you about the jealousy ball.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing to bring up. So jealousy is this word that we throw at each other. You're making me jealous. You know, take responsibility for that. So actually, jealousy is like a giant ball of elastic bands. And when you start taking each of the elastic bands away, you know, one's labeled envy, the other's labeled insecurity, one's labeled possessiveness, territorialism, fear, anger. There are all of these things that make up this thing that we call jealousy. So inside poly relationships, people obviously get jealous. But the important thing is that we acknowledge it and we also break it down. Because jealousy is an overwhelming thing. You have to sit there and actually go, what actually am I feeling? Am I feeling afraid here? Or am I feeling territorial? Am I feeling insecure? And then you can ask for what you need. So I'll give you an example of the first time I ever had jealousy about my husband going on a date. He took his girlfriend off to a craft market and they were going to go buy beef.
Again, that thing was just a mind-blowing thing that you just said. Your husband took his girlfriend on a date.
Yes.
Your husband took his girlfriend on a date.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little moment. Just to process this.
Give me a little moment. Yeah,
okay, cool.
Gotta breathe, right?
While they were away at the craft market, because they both enjoy beading, I thought, ooh, is this something that I should be able to do too? Should I also be able to bead? Is this something that's important to my husband? And so I was feeling insecure. And I could identify that emotion and go, oh, this thing that I'm generally told is jealousy was actually insecurity. And so when he came home from the craft market, I asked him how his date was, and I was very happy for him that he had a lovely time. And
you weren't hiding a knife behind your back?
No, okay. Goodness, no.
Right.
I love my husband. I want him to be happy and to experience everything that life has to offer.
Yeah.
But I could own with him and say, and be honest and say, look, I felt a little bit insecure, and I could ask for what I needed. I was like, could you give me a little bit of reassurance and tell me about something about me that you really value? And he told me that I'm really good with words and I can bead words, and he loves that about me. And that was the end of that conversation. I didn't feel jealous. I didn't feel resentful. I was very happy for him that he had had a wonderful date. And actually, Ram's got an amazing way of describing this very important aspect of jealousy. And Ram, I'm just going to hand it over to you.
Ram, I'm all ears, man. I am all ears. But I just want to find out, even before, are you in a polyamorous sort of relationship?
Currently not.
Not, okay.
No. This feeling that Avri talked about, where she was happy for her husband being happy with his girlfriend, this feeling in the poly community is called compersion. Because we believe if you love somebody, you want them to be happy. Regardless of who or what makes them happy.
Mm. Ideally speaking, of course, yeah?
Well, yes. So this feeling of happiness, that your partner is happy, is called compersion. And previous to the poly community being out, there was no such word as the opposite for jealousy. Because jealousy is a feeling of insecurity.
Right.
And fear and anger and all that kind of thing. Whereas compersion is the absolute opposite. That you're actually happy when your partner is happy. You don't have a feeling of insecurity that your partner is happy.
Yeah.
By some external cause. So compersion is a very important concept in the poly community.
Well, somebody, Puloko, on Twitter says to me, what your guests are advocating for sounds more like an open relationship. Is it?
Not necessarily, because you could have a polyamorous, what we call a polycule. So that's multiple partners in a close relationship where, for example, let's say there's three partners. They will be intimate with each other, but not outside of those three. So it can be you do have the concept of a closed polyamorous relationship. But at the same time, you can also have open relationships.
Generally, the concept of open relationships refers more to monogamous people, and they cherish the primary relationship. But then they give each other permission to have sexual relationships outside of the main relationship. But there's still this main relationship.
Wadzi Wadzanai on Twitter says, yo, Orbs, this polyamory thing is just not sitting well with me. Why do you think that those of us who consider ourselves open-minded, liberal, and educated are feeling this discomfort?
Again, it comes down to what we've been brought up with and what is the social norm of there must be one woman, one man, or two people, and that's it. So polyamory kind of is really challenging that relationship model. And it's kind of weird because the society that we live in, it's far easier to accept that a relationship is not working so a partner can cheat. So they can have multiple partners as long as no one talks about it. Whereas we're now saying, have multiple partners, but be open about it. Talk about it. Confront your needs, your feelings, your insecurities with your partner, with your partners. And we're just making this a bit more, I suppose, putting again.
Because
on the table.
Sounds also very rational, right? It sounds very rational. But I suppose that when you deal with human beings and relationship, they are emotions and they get irrational. Yes. Is this a rational relationship that where people are connected purely cerebrally?
No. It's, I mean, like Avri brought up, it can be a very messy situation.
Like all relationships.
Yeah? And you take a normal monogamous relationship with two people, add another person, you're kind of doubling or quadrupling.
Oh, because my grandmother would.
But yeah, you have double the conversations. You need to schedule time with everybody. You need to deal with everything that a normal, well, let's not use the word normal, but a traditional monogamous relationship has to deal with. you're now almost amplifying that in a polyamorous situation, which is why a lot of polyamorous or people who are involved polyamorously.
Polyamorously. I love the fact that new words are coming. I mean, what is it?
Compersion.
Compersion. I mean, it's great.
Polyamory, the group has an entire lexicon of words which we had to create because there weren't any words to define what we felt or what we experienced. Sure. Sorry, just going back to the question. What was the question?
Well, there's so many.
Is it rational?
Oh, yeah, no. So it's still an emotional engagement. You're still having a romantic relationship, an intimate relationship, which is hard stuff.
Yeah.
Where we bring the rational things in is conversation still has to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you still need to talk to your partner. We don't have a set model. You can't just fall into a relationship and then these are the rules. This is what each person has to follow.
We've got to wrap up because we've got to move on. Okay. But is there any literature that people can be looking at to get more understanding of what's going on? I'm coming to you because you're the activist here, man.
Yes, absolutely. You can start off with our website, polyamory.co.za. There's links over there as well. But if you just Google polyamory, there's immense resources on the internet.
Yeah.
The book that we'd like to recommend is The Ethical Slut. We consider that our Bible. Then More Than Two and Sex at Dawn as well. So start off with these three. But there's lots and lots of books out
there. Guys, I got to stop because this is a fascinating conversation. I would love to continue some other day because I think this is very, very interesting. Avery Spilker, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for
being
me.
So gentle with this Neanderthal. Ram Naika, thank you very much for joining us. And Jayaprakash Suram, equality activist. Guys, thank you very much for
letting
us.
Us.